Morgan from California. Good evening, Morgan.
Hi.
And the next call, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Don from Rexall.
Hey, Don. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Heist. Thanks.
All right. And there was another lady.
As I say, Dwayne, do you want to tell Morgan about your change in your announcement about Valerie and where to send the fan club thing?
Well, yeah, and also I'd like to extend a welcome to Jim. Hurry up and call in if you're not on. Morgan, I misspoke. I told you or whoever to contact Betty White's fan club. I really meant Mary Tyler Moore fan club.
Oh. Yeah, she's having her Rota Week on that ME channel. It's Rota's the guest star on those episodes, but we all know her anyway. So, but Mary Tyler Moore, thank you for correcting that. I didn't get to email for the other lady.
I assure you, they're a tight knit group.
Oh, that is so wonderful to know. It's good, we're only going to be here a little while. It's good to have that kind of friend.
All right, I'm going to pick up and welcome those callers. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location if you have a chance.
This is Cindy in Peoria. How are you guys?
Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you very much.
And who else has joined in?
Hi, Jasmine, Los Angeles.
Hi, Mike. Welcome to the call.
Yeah, Steve.
Hey, Steve. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
This is Donna from Kingman.
Hi, Donna. Welcome back. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you. And more people have joined. Welcome to the call. Name a location.
This is Terry.
Welcome to the call, man. And more
people. Hey, what's up, Mike?
Bad cold there, Terry.
For being here, man. All right.
Some extra hormones too. Change your voice.
Well, it's part of the law of one.
This week you'll be okay. Cool. Cool.
I mean, you know, John Lennon understood the law of one, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And you know what? I was part of that small group, I hope, that sort of didn't believe him. And because it didn't happen to me, I didn't believe it could happen. But he was right. Uh-huh. You're absolutely correct.
I am you, and you are me, and we are we, and we are all together.
Yeah. Correct.
Right now.
You know what? One of the problems is when people first get exposed.
To
I'm also. Am I the eggman or am I the wall?
I am the
wall.
Right.
Yeah. How many of you ever read that Paul McCartney died in 1956?
Oh, yep. I did. Of course.
We got him on the weed part. I mean, we were talking to him.
I buried Paul. You know, go do a YouTube search. Paul McCartney dead, and it is fascinating all the things that come up on that.
Yeah.
Like people took pictures comparing
the new
the guy that's
Paul McCartney and the older one,
showing one is taller than the other. There were all these things on Beatles albums.
Yeah.
All of them.
Paul is dead.
Yeah, Paul is dead. If you play I Am the Octopus backwards, it says Paul is dead. Paul is dead. And you can hear the wreck and hear him going through the windshield. Oh, my God.
Right, all right.
Isn't there I buried Paul somewhere?
Yeah.
Well,
bury my body.
I mean, there's people that took apart the Sgt. Pepper album.
Yep.
And the cover of it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's... They were trying to make all these clues, like the guy in the coffin had a left-handed bass next to him or something, you know?
Mm.
Of course, at the time, I remember that, and people were saying that it was a promotion technique, okay?
Oh,
and
yeah.
That they were just trying to sell more records.
Right.
And but when you take into consideration all the pictures that the new Paul and the old Paul, and et cetera, et cetera.
Wow.
I think there's better proof in that if you look at what Paul wrote musically back then and what he wrote musically later, I don't think it's not at least the same quality. That could just be age, too, but...
No, you don't get less in power in that way, I don't think. You get your talent should get better, I think.
Now, here's what I'm going to tell you before we start the recording, because I don't want to put this on the recording.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
But I want to suggest you all check this out, and don't bring it up and ask questions about it later, okay?
Deal. Just tell us. So it's a new Paul, right?
No.
Oh.
Get your pencils out. I'm gonna say this one time, okay?
Wait.
Are you ready?
No.
Almost.
Get your pencils out. This is
stupid.
Let me.
We're on BBS. Uh-oh.
Yes.
All right. I'm not going to say it. We'll have to do it next time when we're not on BBS. But you guys that are on BBS, if you want to hear this, you got to check in early. But see, I shouldn't even say that, okay? So I'm sorry. I got you all excited, and then I didn't follow through. But hi, everybody on BBS. This is 6:06, and it is wind-free in Sedona, Arizona, on March 13th, 2013. And
we don't have our own recording yet, Lynn.
No, I know. I'm trying to think of anything. I'll turn the audio recording on in a second. And first of all, is Terry, are you here? Hello, Terry.
I think she might have been not as a moderator. Let me unmute.
Muted.
Yeah, I'm here, but I'm not on the moderator line.
Okay, I see you now.
How come you're not on the moderator line?
I can't find the moderator number.
You have to go to graduate school now, haven't you?
She'll be in school forever, the poor thing.
Daphne, are you there?
Hey.
I am here.
Daphne, did you find the moderator live?
I think I'll call back.
Hang on a second. Let me call you guys.
Sure.
Hang on.
Yeah, let me do it, man.
Muted.
Let's see. Daphne, are you there?
No, so you need to call in as a moderator first.
All right. Well, I don't know if Daphne has the moderator. Mm-hmm. I hear you. Did you call back?
I'm here. No, actually, I'm just on... I can call back if you'd like me to.
Are you on the moderator line?
No.
Oh, wait a second. I think you're on the moderator line here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, you're not muted. You didn't. Did you? And I hear you. So just stay the way you are.
I sort of fixed myself. So.
Okay. Now the only reason it's important to call in on a moderator line. You know why? I mean. One time, this only happened one time, but it's a good precaution. Somebody came in and interrupted in the middle of a channeling to heckle us because they did that code to unmute themselves, okay?
So we were down in Virginia.
So we have less protection
when you don't do that.
See, if I have a mode here to just cut off everybody but moderators. And if you don't call in as a moderator, I can't put that in.
Okay, gotcha.
You're the one that talks about protection all the time, and that's part of protection, okay?
I am corrected. Thank you for the heads up.
And Daphne, also please speak up because you're very low volume.
Okay, I said I stand corrected. Thank you so much for the help.
Daphne, do you remember Morse code?
Well, my dad was a Morse code person, but I never learned it.
Now, Terry knows Morse code. She was a ham radio operator.
Yeah.
And, Terry, are you there yet?
I'm here. I'm on the moderator line now.
Okay, I was going to give you the moderator code in Morse code.
Yeah, that would work.
That way. Okay. I think we are ready to start, and let me start the recording, okay?
This conference is being recorded.
This is March 13th, 2013, Wind Free in Sedona, Terry Brown in Sedona, and Daphne in Half Moon Bay, California. And this is our call where we get questions from you, and we submit them to our sources. And we are really honored to have Daphne on the line tonight, going to help us answer the questions. And I'm sure most of you know who Daphne is, but if anyone's listening for the first time, Daphne is the inadvertent founder of our group because there was this question that I asked, does anybody want to talk to me? And she answered, and that's what started everything on this fateful trip from Los Angeles to Portland, Oregon. And, you know, one of the things that many of you are aware of in the history, if you've read our materials, there's this idea of negative attacks. And Daphne had been, I didn't understand negative attacks. I didn't understand any of this, but I had a chance to observe Daphne for quite a bit of time trying to figure out why she was having this experience and how it worked, and asking questions about it. And, you know, it's something, when, particularly when Daphne is on the line, we have to be careful about, because I have absolute certainty there is such a thing as the negative in other dimensions, and that they have their agendas, and in particular, you know, this kind of work we're doing is not in their plan. It's disruptive. So when we're doing questions to our sources and we ask questions about the negative, it has the potential, just see, even by me talking about them right now, I'm just going to say this and then we're going to clear the space. It has the potential to get their attention. They're kind of psychic. And so it's walking a fine line to ask about them, especially in public, on these calls. And some of you who have been a regular attendee and listening know that there's at least one time where we really put our foot in the mud, and the energy of the call got really tacky, and they said, you know, there's a whole explanation given. So I know that there's a lot of curiosity about that level, and it's understandable to have curiosity about it, and I know a lot of the answers myself, and Terry doesn't seem to fall into quite the quagmire that Daphne has the potential to do, and know, I asked a question in a session with Terry. I don't think it was a public session, but about this particular topic. And they said there was a certain amount that was important for people to understand so that they'd have more discernment. Because the problem with what we're calling the negative is that it's tricky, it can misrepresent itself, it can tell you they're Jesus, it can tell you they're the Elohim, they can channel. And so when you're trying to look for things, doing Google searches, you very easily end up in a location that you may not want to end up in, and you might be tricked. I certainly have been tricked in other lifetimes. I am sure of it. I know particular instances where I thought something was positive, and it wasn't, and I became supportive of it. So it's like goes with the territory, and there's probably enough information in our archives. I know you're reading them. You'll find some of this out. Also information in the raw material about it, where, of course, you know that when Carla Ruckert did the raw material, how much she was negatively attacked, almost died. And she got to understood that it was that important to get this stuff out into the world that she was willing to risk that and go through a lot of suffering to do it. And, of course, she and I are working together, and I think part of the reason that we have such good affinity is because we both come to a place where we've had not the same experiences, but complementary experiences in terms of what the negative is about and how they work and how they attempt to screw things up down here. But being that I said all that, I'll say a couple of things here, just as general overview comments. The positive does not create fear. So, for example, if you historically go into the Bible and there's a God that's the God of fear, the God that's supposed to make you tremble, the God that tells you to sacrifice your children, you can rest assured that it's not a positive force. Even when everyone uses that name and thinks it's God, it's not the highest of highs. The positive does not take your decision-making power away. It supports it. It supports your discernment. It never gives up. It never encourages you to give up your power. It never tells you to follow it. It never says, I am the only way. It never... another thing that I've observed, I've never asked this question, but I think this is a fairly good observation, that anything that tells you that deliverance is in the future has got something mixed in its polarity. For example, things are screwed up now, but when spaceships land, things are going to be okay. They're going to save us. Is very likely of the negative. If somebody says a certain person is going to return here, and when he returns, everything is going to be fine, chances are that's not positive or it's mixed. Because if you notice on our calls, many of you notice this, there's an energy present which is totally positive, totally uplifting, comes into your system. You can feel depressions leave. You can feel things change. And it's present right now. See, there is no future. There is only the now. And in the now, we carry our memories and our past life track. And it's all part of a giant illusion which we call life, and we're in the illusion. And the goal is, how do we raise our position in the illusion so that we're above things rather than buried by them, and that the sources we're dealing with have the ability to come down from way high in the illusion and connect with us so we feel it. And if, and to my experience and everything I've heard from people, the feeling is never taking you over. It's never displacing you. It's like part of you. And in the law of one, there's no separation. What's above is part of what's below. It's like that song, look out for Mr. In Between, because that's where the negative exists. And so when you notice a, let's see, look out for Mr. In Between. I mean, how much, I always wondered why I liked that song. It was an old George Gershwin song. And when you're coming from a low place, which could be called a human place, and then you're accessing the energy of a high place, and some of the intermediary places are kind of not energetically complete. There's not a complete flow from the low to the high. And if there was, there wouldn't be a problem because there would be no negative getting through. It's in the intermediary places that there's chinks in the armor where negative energies, negative entities in other dimensions could have access. That's why this kind of work is not to be messed with casually, because if you want to access the highest realms, you have to be prepared to clear or cope with the middle realms where negative attacks can occur. And some people, some of you even, get stuck in that area and it gets hard to get out of because you've let something through and you have to be careful. And, you know, somebody asked me one time or read something and they kind of understood why I am so cautious of these calls and why I say to be so careful about channeling, because channeling is exactly the way the negative gains its influence in this realm. And when a voice is talking to you through someone else, how do you know it's not the negative? How do you know you're not being misled? How do you know they're not trying to turn you into your patsy? So that's why you got to be really careful. That's why it's really good not to start making a living doing this. Because if you start making a living being a perpetrator of channeled information, you now get very attached. You can't help it. We're all attached to making money and making a living. And by making a living on channeled information, it is a huge potential for negative to come in and take it over, because now you're dependent on your living. And if you start being a voice for something negative, you can't stop. You can't stop because you won't pay your rent. So it's one reason that I can stop this at any time. One of the reasons, you know, our little pendant business helps to support this. And it's not depending on are what we do as an output to make money, and that means that I can't. I don't have to. I think you understand me. I don't have to worry about paying the bills, and if a negative source comes through, I better let them talk. But that doesn't mean a negative source won't ever come through on these calls. It's possible. And one has to always keep your guard up, keep your discernment up, always learn to feel the energies of the positive. And as you feel those energies, it's kind of a second validation that you got the right sources. You know, Carla Ruckert made the comment, or it might have been Don Elkins, her channeling partner, which she started on the raw material, that the way to protect yourself from the negative is never to ask a question that's not true as an eternal truth. In other words, I think he said that the same answer would hold 10,000 years from now as now, which means it's the truth of life. And that when you ask questions that are of the moment of time, you very much open yourself up to the possibility of a negative source. And, you know, Daphne and Terry are both in the middle of this. Maybe let them make a comment on this, because it's an area that if I didn't live through it, I could never understand it. It's not anything I could understand by reading about it or thinking about it. And in other lifetimes, I know I was fooled and tricked. And when you're going around and looking on the Internet and doing searches, 2012, DNA evolution, you will most definitely find, in my opinion, people putting out messages that are negative. And if a source says they're Jesus, you better read it really carefully before you think it's really Jesus. Because in many cases, using the name of somebody that's famous and respected, like Jesus, is a temptation to ask people to give up their power and look for anything like that in terms of giving up your power. And see if you feel the same resonance. If you happen to be a Christian, there's a resonance to Jesus' words in the New Testament. See if you feel a resonance with that or not, okay? Because it is tricky, 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 tricky. It's like if you've ever been duped by a good salesperson, you know how easy it is for someone to look good, get into your space, and then lead you down the wrong direction. In fact, one of the problems I've had with Daphne is that I am a good salesperson, and she kept worrying, is Wim selling me something, or is this real, you know? Daphne, you want to say anything about all this?
Can you hear me? Is that loud enough? I know you've had problems with the phone volume.
I can hear you. Am I putting you on the spot?
No, I think it's actually kind of funny. Yeah, you are a salesperson, and you definitely are someone who can come off as, what is this man selling? What is he hawking? You know, do I dare trust him? And it took me a very, very long time to think, what is this person's angle? What is, you are so different than other individuals I had been accustomed to dealing with. So it was, you completely caught me off guard. It's been a very, very intensive education or re-education in assessing the value of lots of things. So, it's been very, very, very interesting.
If you can imagine Daphne walking through a swap meet, which is hard to imagine to begin with. So if you can imagine her walking through a swap meet, and there's this guy standing on top of a car, waving sunglasses in his hand, saying, try him out right now. It's like, if you saw that guy, can you imagine that you'd have a connection with him?
Oh, would I? In that role, not normally, but I mean, again, it's been an education, you know? It's, you know, we're all just, like Shakespeare said, we're all players on the stage, and we've all just, donned these, whatever role in life we've donned, and, we have certain experiences and certain things that we think are us, and certain things that we think aren't us, but actually it's all us. And even the negative is us. I mean, this whole aspect of, it's interesting. It's duality, integration. I mean, ultimately, it's all one. Light and dark ultimately are one, if that makes any sense. And it doesn't to the dualistic mind, but if you can get beyond duality, there's just the beingness of all that is. There's creation.
But,
the field of love light, the consciousness field. And then I guess you would say the negative would be the lack of that. It seems that it's possible to create within the love light field and make creations wherein there are spaces or gaps where there are holes. Where there are holes in the hologram, where there are holes in the design, and it's those holes that can be corrupted. The holes form hooks. The holes form mags. The holes form snares. The holes form places that your frequency can be compromised. And there are actually conceivably possible perfect creations where the love light field is contiguous, where there are no holes, where there is a completeness of the spectrum from the very lowest point to the very highest point. That's not a value judgment, it's just a frequency, broadband frequency spectrum. So it's interesting to think about it in terms of architecture. So, and then, of course, we're all living it out, and from what I understand, this is a grand experiment, and no one quite knows how it's going to turn out. People have their theories, but it's really unknown to ascend huge swaths of a population while in their physical, biological, bodies, their seashells. I call them seashells, like a hermit crab has a seashell and lives in it and then gets too big and then takes the seashell off and goes get another seashell.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Terry, you have any comment on all this?
Yes, I think it's all a matter of frequency. So when you look into a negative thing, that there are certain frequencies involved with it, and when you move into that frequency, you connect with everybody else that's on that frequency, and if it's negative, then you're connecting with a lot of negativity, and that connection can draw negativity into you, and sometimes it's in the subconscious, like if someone has been negative in a past life, and it's kind of hanging there unresolved, but they don't even remember it. Then it can attract frequencies that are the same frequency as that. And it can, if it's negative, it can have negative consequences. So I think one of the things, if somebody's into something negative, then they can look at changing their frequency to take them out of the negative frequency, because when they're in the negative frequency, they can be impulsed by other influences in that frequency.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think that when a person first starts a spiritual path, They decide, hey, there's somewhere to go. I don't want to be where I am. They oftentimes have to go into seclusion or a monastery or a very intense discipline for quite a period of time, maybe even lifetimes, to insulate themselves completely from negative things. So otherwise, they have a harder time moving through it. And maybe once the person masters their discipline, they can now interface with the negative and not get pulled into it. And I think that's when a person becomes a better teacher or a better influencer in this realm. You know,
I
if you.
I think that's why Terry has achieved sainthood. I think she has mastered this. I think that's why she can walk with equal ease in light and dark.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
Right. It's just like I can see it there, and it just is like a fact of life. But I don't
mm-hmm.
have to duplicate that frequency. I can still, I can see it. I can even experience it, but it doesn't have anything in me to attract it.
You know, I like to just make a little side note here, is that Terry does not consider herself a saint. In fact, when I asked her a question about St. Catherine, the life of St. Catherine, she didn't know she was going to become a saint. She was just showing up at the church, and they were writing down what she said. Now, you know, if I can look at that, and then I know a few of Terry's lifetimes, you can see, I can see, that this quality of interdimensional connection is like with her as a unexpressed talent. And until the exact right circumstance presents itself, that talent cannot express in the world. Like if you look at the Elohim group and the Ra group, they're not dummies. They don't just need to talk through somebody. They need to talk in a situation where something can actually happen, and they have to evaluate, is this a situation where if we communicate through this person, will it make an impact on the world, or is it just going to be like a little curiosity factor? And they're not going to bother if it's going to be a curiosity factor. They want to make an impact. So just as I knew Terry for many years, I never knew she could do this. And if I knew it, I wouldn't have known what to do with it. It took me meeting Daphne, and then suddenly that woke up Terry's frequency of this connection, and it all, everything happened from there. But I would suspect that if we went back to the life of, say, Catherine, then Catherine would show up in that church. And for some reason, there was one person or more than one person in the church who could hold the grounding energy so that they could speak through her. And what did they try to do through St. Catherine? If you read it, a good portion of the dialogues with St. Catherine were attempting to reform the church. And it sounds very much like the Ra group. And so, you know, if you're looking at our work, there's a pretty good track, footprint through history that no one else has ever uncovered, and that I know of, and I don't think anyone has. First of all, there was this entree of the Ra group in this early life of David Wilcock in Egypt in 10,000 B.C. Then there was the taking over of that work by the negative. Then there was this attempt to use Akhenaten to fix Egypt and didn't succeed. But one of the things that did succeed was the creation of the Essenes, because if I am like putting the pieces together right, the Ra group was already 1300 BC preparing for Jesus. and they needed Jesus to have a group to affiliate himself with so that he could figure out what he was supposed to do. And that group was the Essenes, which was a group of Hebrews that lived in the caves and kept separate from other people. And they were very advanced, and there was a mystery historically where they came from, but I found a number of references thinking that it was Akhenaten who sent people out to the desert to be the Essenes, okay? And so then you have Jesus coming in, and a church that gets corrupt, and that people are not operating in the Christed frequency, and it's like 1400 AD now, and this person who happens to have this talent of bringing through messages from these high sources ends up walking into a local church, and for some reason the energy was correct to hold the space so she could become, she could bring through messages. And they realize, somebody realized this is real, this is coming from somewhere, and then they're trying to fix the church that they that started around Jesus and bringing in all this stuff about the corruption of the church, which becomes St. Catherine's dialogues with God. And then you can see, just because somebody channels, they have to kind of stumble into the right situation so that something can happen. Otherwise, it just, you know, never goes anywhere. So this whole circumstance that we're doing is just so unusual because we have two people who are such extraordinary, have such extraordinary abilities to bring messages in from other dimensions, from what seems to be positive sources, and to cross-reference the information so that we can double-check. And we have Carla Rucker being, you know, working with us more closely. She's going to be on our grid healing this Sunday. And we have you guys who have been smart enough to keep coming back to realize that this is a really epic thing that we're doing, and you are participating in it. And the fact that you're here is part of what's making it work, because it's that thing, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there, is there really any sound? Not really. You guys are creating the sound, the grounding of this, so that it has the potential to move into the world. And some of you actually understood all of what I just said and said, wow, I can see that. So thank you. This is a group effort, and that you guys, by showing up, are holding the space so that it can manifest. And those people that are doing transcripts, etc., volunteering, so many people that are making all this work. Now, let's go to the questions. I'm talking too long. It's 6:42. And we didn't get a lot of questions tonight, so it's okay to talk about that. And if I have some questions tonight that I think are kind of arbitrary, hanging between negative and positive, I'm going to do a quick answer to them, very quick. I'm not going to ask a channeling on them, and I may not ask them at all, okay, particularly because of Daphne and the protection of her space. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect everyone here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted, dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth.
And right now, we invoked a group energy connection of all of you present who would free willingly choose to participate in that connection. And we maintain the sovereign integrity of our souls. And that means we're becoming a group energy, and we're also maintaining our individual energies. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we have some questions for this evening. And for our first question, we are going to ask this to Daphne, to our sources through Daphne. And this is from Gary in Redondo Beach. If life is a series of successive moments of now, doesn't that imply time? And if there is no time, such that everything is happening at once, how does a free will choice ever have a chance of being made? I hope they'll answer. Thanks, Gary. Now, Gary, I'm not sure I understood that question completely. If life is a series of successive moments of now, doesn't that imply time? Yes. Well, of course. Is there time? Yes. Is there time? No. This is the duality of everything. It depends where you position yourself on the matrix. If you're up at the high level of the matrix, there's no time. If you're down here on Earth, there's time. Because time is we experience time. It's kind of like, even if the truth intellectually is that time is an illusion, when you're in the experience of it, it doesn't matter if you're in the illusion. So it's real. Within the framework of your experience, it's real. And the challenge is, how do you move your own focus so that you can move above that place where time is, you're trapped in time, like the Joni Mitchell song, trapped, you know, the circles of time. And if there's no time such that everything is happening at once, so everything is happening at once, that means at the higher levels, past lives, present lives are all together. But future is not. Future is being created in the propulsion of the moment. And it's not fated. It's changing because the present moment is always changing. The fact that you came to this call, the fact that you are listening to me, changes something. What you do tomorrow is changing something. If enough people are holding a high enough space, the entire universe changes, okay? So if you're making a free will choice, you have to operate within the place where you can do free will and not abridge someone else's free will. Because if they were making a different choice and you're making a choice, your choices collide and it may not be possible for both of them to exist. But in any case, I hope, I don't know if I clarified anything. And let's just give it to our sources and see what they do with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn. One moment, please. They'd like to We greet you in the light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra'an. We have also present Ra'el. There is a dualistic interchange of energies which we find requisite for the focusing of the polarity spectrum. you are asking a question about positioning within the matrix. You are asking a question about a dimensional concept. We, from our vantage point, above duality, we see time as a concept of the fourth dimension. Think, in the third dimension, the third dimensionality as the construct from our perspective of choice. The fourth dimensional aspect is the dimensional aspect which you would term the astral aspect or the emotional aspect. The emotional aspect, when brought into a confluence, when brought into the now moment of non-judgment, when brought into the now moment of the compassion of the heart, ceases to have cause and effect. When cause and effect cease operating, the proportion of time in the old style of the architected time-space causality function, this ceases to exist. This ceases to become a construct of your reality system. You are then creating from the eternal now, from a grace-infused moment. When one can stop the judgment, one stops cause and effect. One no longer binds oneself to karma. Karma is a causation. Karma is cause and effect. Action and reaction, push and pull, yin and yang, male and female. We would even say that once you move beyond duality, the mating dance, the relationship architecture, marriage, all of this ceases to exist in the way you have experienced it in 3D. The completion of self is no longer required outside of self, for self finds completion within the octave of self. Each is male. Each is female. Each has the abilities and capabilities of the divine suffused within the divine matrix. This is not to say that there will not be loving relationships, that there will not be marriages. It is to say that the need changes to fulfillment. This is to say that the karmic patterning of having to work things out is fulfilled. There is no more having to complete. There is no more having to bring it into balance. There is no more a vacuous feeling of a circuit not being run completely with energy. When one reaches the still center point of integration, the karmic consequences come to a balance point. Time ceases to flow, and the function of self becomes suffused with grace. We hope this has answered your question.
Vin, I can't hear you.
Oh, hello? Is that better?
Yes, hey now.
Okay. I'm going to have to take some classes at Unmute University. And I'm going to answer this question quickly. Then I'm going to do a question for Terry. And thanks for letting us talk so much.
earlier. It's like helps to balance the energy, particularly Daphne, who, as you know, sometimes comes and then she's not here and she can't handle it. And so trying to create a integrative energy so she wants to show up more often. And the question here is, what can you tell me about alien ships that are outside of our atmospheres pressuring the government to tell the world population the truth? I'm going to answer that. Those alien ships that are in talking to the government are negative. All those people that are saying aliens are coming to save us are wrong. It's misleading. If the alien ships land, run the other direction. And I don't want to explain that in any more detail than that, but if you have respect for our work, that is what we have come up with. And all this stuff about aliens landing and disclosure, I would be very wary about it. If you want to look on the Internet, you'll find that for a long time, our government has been in collusion with negative aliens. And that's it. Don't ask more questions about that. Just do Internet research. That was probably more than I should say. Okay? And, Terry, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to ask an easy question here, and the question is, what is the inside center of the Earth really like? And then let me just look at our time here. We have about 2.5 minutes, so see if we can get some answer in 2.5 minutes, and we'll adjourn.
Thank you. We look at various portions of the inside of the Earth, and we see that it is dissimilar place to place, particularly in the layers moving from the top of the Earth down. And when you get to a certain level, you see oil as it is a lubrication, and it is created from the various conditions that are available in the rocks, and it is the lubrication for the Earth and helps the Earth in its movements. And as we move further down into the center of the Earth, we see a constriction, and we see an immense pressure as it is brought to bear upon the center by the various forces moving down upon that center. The very center is a dense matter, which it also has heat there, based upon the action of the pressure upon the matter at the center. And it is also a very thick, viscous, we would not say liquid, but a viscous material. Terry does not understand the meaning of the word viscous. So it is a very thick material that is under pressure, and it is not a thin liquid. It is a very thick matter that has some properties of, and we don't wish to say liquid because it is not a liquid. We wish to say viscous. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You know, we have to get off. There was one quick question that I was going to ask about how are crop circles. We do have a whole a report on that. The Rod Group. According to our work, the Rod Group has created the crop circles. I'm going to be in San Diego doing a talk this Sunday, and Carlsbad the following Sunday. at the New Earth Expo. So we also have a calendar up. We'll be putting events up. If you look today's email, calendar.intelligentinfinity.com. It is 6:59. We should have been off 3 minutes ago. Thank you, BBS, for letting us be here. And we will see you all next time. Thank you for participating, and thank you for your questions tonight. Unmute everybody.
Unmuted.
We're all on mute.
Calendar up.
Thank you.
We're putting events up.
Thank you, Daphne. Thank you, Terry.
Email.
Thank you, Wynn.
Calendar. Acknowledge everybody.